Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist, Trent Horn. When we talk about the word genocide, when we talk about attempts to exterminate peoples, the ones that often come to mind are the Holocaust or the Rwandan genocide. But there have been efforts to try to exterminate peoples that have really become forgotten, things like the Armenian genocide of 1915. And when we think about this, this isn't just some obscurity in history. It goes back to a long and lengthy period of Christian persecution and something that is still happening today to Christians who really represent the most eastern edge of Western civilization. And so there's a lot talking about that, things that are still happening today. And so my guest is a friend of Catholic Answers, Simone Rizkala. She's a director of, I think, Growth Within Tao. She just told it to me and now it's left my mind. Maybe she can fill us in her bio a little bit more. She spoke at our conference recently at Catholic Answers, and I'm really grateful for her coming on today. Simone, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Trent. Cy Kellett can never get my title either. So it's a I need a new one. The problem is with the title, not with you guys.
So. No worries. So you're involved with this, with the group Endow, but you're also doing work with the Philos Project?
Yes. So yes, I am the Director of Program Growth at Endow. And but currently I'm also very much helping the Philos Project. The Philos Project is an organization that's dedicated to positive Christian engagement in the Near East. And their latest initiative, the Save Armenia Initiative, is because of the second genocide that is going on right now for Armenian Christians.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about this, because in the United States, we're just really bad about world events. I mean, when you turn on the news, it is just, you know, national politics over and over and over. What did Trump do? What did Biden do?
Right.
And we forget there is an entire world out there. And most people don't know about this blockade that is happening in Armenia and Azerbaijan, correct?
Right. That's correct. Most Americans don't know. Although I'm happy to report that this week, there seems to be a little bit more media attention towards this blockade, a blockade that has been going on for the last 8 months. So these Armenian Christians in a region called the Nagorno-Karabakh have been being starved to death by the Azeris, who have put a blockade in the only route called the Lachin Corridor that connects this region of ethnically Armenian Christians to Armenia proper, where food and medical supplies are able to be accessed. So they have kept this blockade going now for 8 months, with many of us in the Armenian community saying, hey, they're going to run out of food. Hey, they're going to run out of food and supplies and medical care. And they have. And now it's in a very dire situation. We have more deaths this week, children, 30,000 of those 120,000 Armenians that are trapped in the Nagorno-Karabakh. Our children, women are experiencing miscarriages.
These trucks are stuck near an Azerbaijani checkpoint at the entry of the Lachin Corridor. Although Azerbaijan has given the green light for the Red Cross to resume medical evacuations from the enclave to Armenia, the organisation remains unable to use the corridor to transport aid to residents.
Many mothers of formula-fed children are horrified by going from pharmacy to pharmacy every day and not finding formula. We are horrified by the thought that our children may get sick because a number of essential medicines are completely missing.
The International Red Cross has been denied entry. The Japanese ambassador, who strangely loves Armenians, I don't know what that story is about, sent supplies. He was barred. The French have been barred. I mean, so it is a genocide as we speak.
So is part of this related to something distinct to Armenian culture, like that it is sort of a bastion for Christianity in an area that was once very Christian, but has now become predominantly Muslim?
Yes, it absolutely is. I appreciate that you brought up the Jewish Holocaust and Rwanda and all. The, again, forgotten history of Armenia is that the word genocide itself was coined by a Polish jurist who use that word in reference to what happened to the Armenians during World War I, 1915. So that even that word has become popular because of what happened to the Armenians, but then what happened to the Armenians was left behind. When Hitler was justifying the Jewish Holocaust, he was asked by a Nazi official, how are you going to get away with this? And Hitler says, "What he said, well, who remembers the Armenians? So I certainly can get away with it."
Well, that's interesting because so if you think about it, because a lot of times when we think about the Middle East, so we think about areas related to Turkey, Armenia, Azerbaijan, we think of this as just being a Muslim part of the world. But right. Armenia, and I love this whenever I study the early church fathers, that in the year 301, Armenia was the very first Christian kingdom.
Yes. And I mean, that's 301. That is, Trent, as you know, a decade before the Edict of Milan, which legalized Christianity in the Roman Empire. So before Christianity was even legal, Armenia declared Christianity its state religion. The Roman Empire didn't declare Christianity the official state religion until 380 AD. So we're very, very proud as Armenians to have this history. And I think you touched on something that's very near and dear to my heart. First, my own personal story being Armenian Egyptian. The reason I'm Armenian Egyptian is because of the Armenian genocide. So we went to Egypt as an escape, came to the United States later, and you know, because of what happened, you know, with the increasing Islamic fundamentalism in the Middle East now, that was foresight from my dad and my family. So yeah. My personal history is determined by this problem of religious freedom. But many Americans, many Westerners have yet to, they're not like you, Trent, they're not reading church fathers. They have yet to tap into the spiritual and cultural DNA of the East, which is where Christianity started. It started in the East. Christianity is not a European religion. It's an Eastern religion. It's a Semitic religion.
Right. It starts in Israel and the Holy Land and then branches out into what we now call the Middle East. But and something that flourished until you have the rise of Islam in the Middle Ages. And then eventually that area being overtaken by the Ottoman Empire and the Turks. And then this culminates in the early 20th century with the Armenian genocide in 1915. And so many interesting parallels there, right, with the later attempted genocide of Jewish people during World War II, that you have the Turks trying to stamp out this community. And it's I mean, we know the horrors of the Nazi Holocaust very well through television and films, but just that these people, and they were just marched out into the desert to die, to eradicate them.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. If you get into the history, it's a terrific crucifixions of women. I mean, the death marches through Syria, it's terrible. But you're absolutely right that what is driving the Azeris and the Turks, Azeris are ethnically Turkish. What's driving this blockade? What's driving this, you know, and we have on record the president of Turkey saying, you know, let's finish what our fathers started with the first genocide. There are phrases in Turkish that say that if you see an Armenian, they're leftovers of the sword, you know, so this is all very real, well-documented public.
What's funny, though, is not to cut you off, is that they'll say that out of one breath, but then out of the other breath, they'll try to deny the Holocaust, that it ever happened at all in 1915, similar to people who deny the Nazi Holocaust. And I think Pope Francis actually spoke about this, and the prime minister of Turkey kind of took umbrage at Francis for even mentioning the genocide.
He did. Pope Francis, who, when he was bishop in Argentina, had a very large Armenian population. And I think he had an affinity for Armenians because of the Armenian population in Argentina. And yes, when he spoke out for the Armenians and mentioned the genocide, you're absolutely right. Erdogan said, I warn him not to do that. I condemn him and I warn him not to speak that way, because Turkey as of yet has not recognized the Armenian genocide.
Pope Francis has quoted the word genocide in referring to the mass killings of Armenians 100 years ago under Ottoman rule in World War I. His phrase, which it's thought may anger Turkey, came as the Vatican held a mass attended by Armenia's president. Ankara has consistently denied that the killings were genocide and strongly protested when the Pope used the term 2 years ago. In the last century, the Pope said, our human family lived through three massive and unprecedented tragedies. The first, which is widely considered the first genocide of the 20th century, struck your own Armenian people.
Come il primo genocidio del ventesimo secolo.
Armenia and many historians say up to 1.5 million people were systematically killed by Ottoman forces in 1915. The European Parliament and more than 20 countries recognize it as genocide.
So what's stopping this pan-Turkic empire from emerging? Well, it's this small little Christian country of Armenia.
Yeah.
In landlocked in this pan-Turkic region. And that is what is, that's what's stopping them from building that Turkic empire.
And so we still see the effects of this, trying to finish what was started with this blockade in the corridor between Armenia and Azerbaijan, a big humanitarian crisis. Tell us any more about that we might not have covered that's important to know. And then also, I think a lot of people would like to know what's a good way to help and bring more awareness about this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Your first question is what needs to happen to end it, or how can we help? Where should I start?
Anywhere you want, because we've covered a lot about everything leading up to this. And then I think we've talked a bit about what's happening now. I just want to make sure there aren't any other details people should really know. And then I think a lot of people would like to know, is there a way that I can help?
Yeah, I think definitely spreading awareness that this is happening. Also taking the time out, especially as Christians, to learn about Armenia. St. Gregory of Narek is a doctor of the church, an Armenian monk, one of only 37 doctors of the church, which is pretty cool. So that might be something to take interest in. I am, of course, concerned now as Western, as an Armenian, to end this blockade. But again, this is a long-term problem. It will not go away, even if the blockade ends today, which God willing it will. This project to eradicate this Christian nation from the world map, from world history, it's a long-term project. So to be aware of that as an American, as a Westerner, as a Christian, that this small Christian country has Western shared values, as you mentioned, the easternmost edge of the West, of Western civilization. So these are people we want to support, not just as humans, not just as Christians, but as those who believe in democratic republicanism. And so that's one thing to keep in mind. The other thing is, yes, I mean, pray and also spread awareness, because awareness really does matter, especially because, as you mentioned earlier, we're so dominated by national politics that we forget that there's 3 million plus Christians in the world who are being persecuted. And this one is it's pretty important, significant group of people. So right now, I know Senator Brownback has been working very hard to raise awareness to this issue. The Philos Project, he went with the Philos Project along with other people to the blockade this past June, and is really asking the Biden administration to hold up Section 907, the Freedom Support Act, which says if the United States is going to continue to give millions upon millions of dollars in aid to Azerbaijan, then Azerbaijan cannot turn around and use that aid to provoke violence against this small Christian country.
Yeah, no, there's nothing worse than our supposed allies misusing the billions of dollars that we send them every year, not just Azerbaijan, but many other places around the world, frankly. So that's why I think as Christians, we need to pray, but also be diligent about what happens, the affairs of this world, contacting our elected representatives. They work for us. Just send an email to them and say, hey, what are you doing about this, that our tax dollars go to these countries and they're oppressing Christians around the world? Why are we doing that? So I'll definitely include some links in the description below for anyone who wants to learn more about Armenian Christian heritage and ways that you can affect real change to help Christians are really being persecuted around the world. So Simone, thanks so much for coming on again. Any other final thoughts or resources you'd recommend?
Yeah, I'd love it if everybody signed up Philos Project/Armenia. There's a newsletter that I'll be managing. And I think, again, it's a hard sell, right? But in that newsletter, there will be prayers and information about St. Gregory of Narek. You know, the church, is, it's been said recently in various circles, is having an Eastern moment. And I think it's very much time for the health of our church, and therefore the health of the world, if we really tapped into our Eastern roots, tapped into the spiritual and cultural DNA of our faith of the East, that will breathe life into the Western church. So I encourage that.
Amen to that. Simone, thank you so much for joining us. Definitely check out the links below in the description. Thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a blessed day and you pray for peace in our world.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.